everybody. Today is, I'm State Senator Mark Horan. Today is March 10th. It's 8:30 a.m. And we are going to kick off the call to order of the Technology and Reform Committee. The agenda that was posted, we had two bills on the agenda. Of course, we have Senator Biggins, 3723, and we had on the agenda Senator Housley's 3609. We will not be hearing the Senator Housley's bill, 3609, today. We're notified they got a little more work before it's ready, and then they'll, so they just weren't ready for this morning. So we'll have a hearing on that bill as soon as they get the amendments done on it, but it won't be today. So with that, what we'd like to do is move forward. We got Senator Biggin in front of us, and so we have, I'd like to move before the committee today, Senate File 3723. Senator Biggin, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And first, thank you to you for allowing this bill to be heard.
Senator Biggin, could you bring the mic? Thank you.
Is that better?
Perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
Thanks. First, Mr. Chair, thank you for hearing the bill today. I think this is a very important topic when we're looking at local governments and public safety. And I want to thank my co-authors, Senator Latz, Dibble, Duckworth, and Ingebrigtsen. Through numerous sessions, we have heard the financial impact on local governments related to purchasing and starting up a body cam program for their law enforcement. And the one of the largest cost factors is data storage. So what Senate File 3723 does is has a central statewide repository so that each individual department's data would be stored in their own individual cloud, protected. So I Itasca County couldn't go and look in Washington counties, Mr. Chair, stuff like that. There's protections in there for that. And then that would be borne by the state, the cost of that. And then our good friend, State Auditor's Office, who's here to testify as well, would be the one auditing for procedure and making sure that everything is followed according to state law. Now, a couple things I wanna say. This is a work in progress. This has probably a few committees to go through, being that it does deal with a constitutional office issue. So that would be state government and probably some data privacy stuff, Mr. Chair. So we're probably looking at a civil law as well. And I do know that Ms. James had some suggested language to kind of technical language to clean things up. That amendment, either we could do today or it could be done in a state government committee. But I just kind of want to say that this is a work in progress, and that's the point of having these in committee. The other thing I will say is 50% of departments don't have a body cam system. And so it might be a wise approach, talking with some stakeholders, that we do a phased in approach, starting with those departments that currently do not have body cams, and maybe looking at some sort of advisory committee with law enforcement, with the auditor's office, and making sure that we put together a strategic plan to accomplish this. And I think that might also help with budgeting and financing. So, Mr. Chair, those are some things that I'm just kind of throwing out there as we discuss that. And happy to stand for questions. We do have the wonderful Dakota County Sheriff Tim Leslie to testify. And I will say, prior to session, I met with my CLEOs, the chief law enforcement officers, and this issue came up with my sheriffs. And full disclosure, they all have body cams, but it's a concern statewide. And of course, they want to help each other out too, to make sure that, and advocate for each other, that they're having appropriate resources. So he's here to testify. And I do know that the state auditor is in attendance as well to say a few words.
Excellent. Thank you, Senator Biggin. And so we'll do one quick question, Senator Dreheim, and then we'll finish up. We'll have the testifiers, and then we'll do all member questions in as well. Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Senator Biggin, for bringing this bill forward. I was wondering if it would be okay if we just got a real quick update on the changes that are being suggested from nonpartisan, and just kind of a 2-minute description of what needs to be addressed, so we just have a frame before the testifiers.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chair, then you can decide if you want to do it today or if you want
to. Senator Begum, would you like to have Ms. James?
Yes.
Give it. Okay, Ms. James, I believe you're on. If you could, please state your name and for the record, and give us update the highlights of the proposed changes.
Mr. Chair and members, the suggestions that I proposed are completely technical, non-substantive. The bill right now has a couple different names for the repository. And so one suggestion I have is to just be consistent with that. And I don't think the adjective central is really necessary. I think we can just call it a state repository. So some of the changes are that. Another change is to eliminate the phrase on line 1.12, eliminate the phrase established systems and protocols. So it just says the commissioner must limit access to only the law enforcement agency. So you just put the requirement on the commissioner to do that, and you don't have to have the intermediate language about the systems and protocols. The other thing that is in the amendment is that there's a couple of references to the commissioner. And in this chapter of statute, the commissioner by definition is the commissioner of admin, but really what's intended is the commissioner of IT services. So it fills that in a couple spots where that occurs. And that is all that's in the amendment.
Excellent, thanks, Ms. James.
And we have the amendment ready if you all choose to.
Yeah, I think we should get the bills continue the migration of the bill into its form. So if you have the bill ready, I will, I'll move that motion as well. If we can get that distributed, do we have it?
Mr. Chair, I just emailed it.
All right, so Senator Begum, and if we could move, Ms. James, send that to Alec, and then we'll get that moving. But in the meantime, we'll do testimony and continue on with our questions, and then we can adopt it before we take action at the end.
Mr. Chair, that sounds great. The one thing I just want to clarify, which Senator Dreheim, it triggered in my mind, we are not actually changing any data privacy or any established systems or protocols. So that is very helpful and clarifies that. So we're not messing with any, timelines of when to distribute body cam. We're not doing any of that. So that's very helpful to the bill.
Thank you, Senator Begum. I know you want to try and get the civil law in both judiciary as fast as you can. All right. So with that, what we'll do is we'll continue on the testimony. So if we could have, I believe next on the agenda is the Sheriff Tim Leslie. Mr. Leslie, if you could state your name and for the record, and the floor is yours. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's Tim Leslie, L-E-S-L-I-E-M, the sheriff in Dakota County. And I want to thank Senator Begum for bringing this forward. We've been talking about this at the Minnesota Sheriff's Association for probably a year and a half or so, realizing that many county sheriffs and local law enforcement do not have the resources to have a body-worn camera system. And so I'm going to use a few analogies, if you don't mind. In the Dakota County Sheriff's Office, we were the first sheriff's office to have body-worn cameras in the jails. So we've had those since 2015. They've been awesome in terms of reducing our liabilities and frivolous lawsuits. We've had them since 2020 in the patrol division, and so they're working great. We just got a federal grant. We're going to add 80 more. As I'm walking down the hall, I talk to my person that manages our program. And it's a 70-30 proposition. The body camera, the little device that sits on your uniform, 30% of the cost. The storage is 70% of our cost. As well as I have two people, all they do is redaction. So if I get a request for body camera, they have to go into the recording and get rid of people's faces. And that's very, very time consuming. And for a small law enforcement agency, and I'm sure many of the members here have spoken to their sheriffs or their chiefs to find out how it's going with them would understand that. Just to go back in time, in 2003, I was appointed the Assistant Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Public Safety. My project was the statewide radio system. I was the chair of that statewide radio board. That was to create interoperability. And that's so that when you get to a major circumstance, you can talk to law enforcement, can talk to the sheriff's office, the police department, the fire department, etc. That was not present for many, many, many years here until about 2004, It started to roll out. This whole state now is governed by the statewide radio board. The Minnesota Department of Transportation owns the radio system, and law enforcement owns the handhelds, right? We buy these. The analogy to this circumstance, which Senator Bingham is, it's very similar. Law enforcement would own the body camera. The state would own the repository. And then we would have, I think the analogy I've used with Senator Bingham is a hotel with private rooms, right? I want to be on the second floor if possible because I don't want to go up and down stairs. That's a joke. Sorry about that. But that's how we would see this, that the state will own the, I call it an enterprise storage solution. And then the local law enforcement agencies, like Senator Bingham mentioned, something to do with a grant program or a rollout, a pilot, whatever, to get some of these agencies on board. And I hasten to use this term, but body-worn cameras are going to be ubiquitous. And my mom would be happy because I just used a four-syllable word. So they are. It's like Taser is ubiquitous. Every law enforcement officer has a Taser. Pretty soon every law enforcement officer should have a body-worn camera, because that's the first question we ask. Is if somebody comes in here and says, oh, the big day just happened, we're going to go, was there a body camera there? Because you want to capture that circumstance that the officer or the deputy faced, and it just gives a view, and it makes it much more easy to appreciate what was going on there rather than the drama. So that's the end of my testimony, but I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Sheriff Leslie. And I think what we'll do is we'll move on to the next testifier, and then we'll do questions. So if we could have State Auditor Julie Baja, welcome. Thank you. Please state your name for the record, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Chair Curran. Thank you, members of the committee. I'm Julie Baja, your state auditor, and here to speak to the audit requirements specifically in this bill. We believe, after looking at this, that with additional staffing, we would be able to fulfill our role in this oversight plan. Currently, our office does do a few of these requests for audits of law enforcement regarding portable recording systems. We did, for instance, we did six of them in 2021, two in 2020, eight in 2019. These are basically straightforward application of procedures to determine compliance with statutes. That's basically what the examination that we're doing when we do these. The audits take about 45 hours to complete. They usually cost about $4,000 to $5,000. And then by statutes that govern how we charge for our services, we bill the agency we audit for the exact number of hours that the audit takes to complete. So, the way we've been doing them lately is we take these audits as they come, and because they are smaller projects, we're able to fit them in our schedule as in between other work. However, if we were to do all 417 law enforcement agencies every other year, we would need 5 to 6 additional staff to do that. We are finalizing those specific costs and put them together, and we're going to suggest a fiscal note on that for this situation. Now, of course, to be clear, that cost wouldn't be incurred while the system is being built. It also wouldn't be incurred in the first year while the data is accumulating, of course. And so with that, I also on the line is Deputy Auditor Diane Saverson, who is available to take questions on that. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Auditor Baja. So if we could have Mr. Neumeister. Mr. Neumeister, you know the routine. Please state your name and the record, who you represent, and the floor is yours.
Chair Curran, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Rich Neumeister. First of all, I'd like to say thank you. I'm out of my territory a little bit. I don't hit these committees all that often. And also, it's kind of interesting, as Sheriff Leslie is retiring this year, I remember meeting Sheriff Leslie when he was a patrol officer almost 35 years ago on some of the same issues we talk about today, on privacy and accountability, things like that. Chair Curran, my background, for those people who may not know the views that where I'm coming from, is that for 22 years, I sat on the CrimNet Advisory Board, where millions of dollars was placed in to the BCA to develop statewide information systems. So I'm familiar with those kinds of issues. And then for many decades, about almost now over nearly four and a half, have encouraged good policy on these type of issues. The bill before you is not a slam dunk. It is one that takes information on a local level and bring it to a central level. So if anyone knows of dynamics of political science or government, it changes the dynamic of how information can and be used and accessed. So those are some of the points that I wish to be able to at least express as this bill takes its progress from today. One is, first of all, on whose server is it going to sit on? That's one of the big questions in information policy. Is it going to be the states, or are they going to go for a vendor? And where is that server going to be? Also, is it going to be a body camera company? Because what's happening now is body camera companies are selling the product and also at the same time providing the cloud or the server or whatever it may be. So those are kinds of questions. And with the enhancement, this is where you get into data issues, rights issues, is there's now a discussion, and there has been, where body cameras can be used for facial recognition. You put in data, so let's say you have a centralized database now. I want to see spread out over a metropolitan area all people who wore a red sweater or Rich Neumeister, again, depending on the data elements and some of the protocols, because some of this is happening on the local level. Number two is the access issues. Very big concepts are, you go to your local police department, you get the data. There have been issues in centralized databases, which is different than statewide radio than what Sheriff Leslie talked about. So those are some of the concerns. Who's responsible for the breach? And one of the key questions by particularly folks who believe body cameras are important for accountability of law enforcement, transparency and accountability. And this is even from law enforcement officers themselves. Are the local communities going to be restricted from keeping their own server and their own copies if they so wish to do so? The whole issue about audits, Chair Coran, is that when you now change a dynamic of a law, it's been around for 6 years, it will bring out people like me and other interested parties to add on, maybe to add on some of the deficiencies that people have seen in the auditing process. So it's important to be aware, this is just not, okay, let's fund and put together and it's all on servers. A lot of other policy questions will come into play. The one thing that was kind of interesting, and I talked to a tech person late last night, and he shared with me his point here. Let's just say, for example, if it's decided, and as Sheriff Leslie and other law enforcement people will tell you, is Axon cameras. That's basically the product that's being sold of body cameras. For example, you upload to evidence.com. When they are placed in a charging dock at end of shift of an officer's time, is evidence.com, which is a third-party vendor, going to be exclusively managed by Minute? Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm just trying to share with you, this is not no slam dunk, easy thing. There's a lot of questions. And speaking with Senator Bingham, Mr. Chair, yesterday, I like the idea of an advisory group. And this is what we've seen over the decades on these kinds of issues, there should be one, with stakeholders like the public involved too. So with the bill, Mr. Chairman, I hope it's damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead. But hey, I'm not looking for torpedoes, and let's have good public policy. And Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, someone who's been part of this process, like I said, for a very long time, I'm willing to participate and to help make sure that there's good public policy, but also a great number of those policy questions need to be answered and dealt with and be truly stated to policymakers and the public.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Neumeister. And your thought process and aligns with mine. There's so many of those elements when we move this. Access, retention. Sheriff Leslie talked about two FTEs. Where does a transfer of that work move, if it transfers at all, in addition to the quality of data, facial recognition, the data privacy of search and being able to hunt for your red shirt or Richard Neumeister walking through, or where has he been located? You know, those are the types of things that are complex when we talk about it. It's simple concept in theory, but extremely complicated when we're talking about data privacy, law enforcement, retention of record, original record, prior to redaction, post redaction, where do all those reside and who has the ultimate authority to manage those? So, because I think we've talked about Minute as a technology provider, but Minute is not a content management from a perspective of the details of the content. In this place, in this case, it looks like it may be a function or a necessary function as we move forward. So lots of work to be done. So,
Chair Curran, I thank you very much for the time and committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Neumeister. So with that, members, we do have the amendment ready. Are you guys going to print that? Everybody's got an email.
Yeah, Chair, I would. Everybody has it in their email, so I don't think we need to print it.
Yep, so and it's been posted. So what I'd like to do is let's take care of the amendment. Let's get that done, and then we'll move on to member questions. So what I'd like to do is I'll move the A1 amendment to Senate File 3723. And what I'd like to do is if Ms. James, if you could just go through the details of the amendment line by line, and then we'll go through the doc. It's an author's amendment. Actually, yeah, so if you can just go through the description, it's an author's amendment. We'll move it forward. Thank you. Ms. James?
Mr. Chair, sure, I'm happy to describe it line by line. Lines 1.2, 1.3, 1.7, 1.8, and 1.11 of the amendment are taking care of a consistent naming for the system and turns it into a state repository throughout. And then line 1.9 to 1.10 just fixes the name of Minute, which we don't call Minute anymore exactly. And line 1.4 to 1.5 fixes the designation of the commissioner. As I mentioned in this chapter, commissioner is defined to mean the commissioner of admin, but what's intended is the commissioner of IT here. So that fixes that. And then line 1.6 of the amendment takes out what I think are extraneous commands to the commissioner to establish systems and protocols. And turns it just into a direction to the commissioner to deal with the safeguarding of the information as described in the bill.
Excellent, thanks, Ms. James. So members, with that, we've got the description. It is an author's amendment. This is the first stop. So what I'd like to do is adopt it. We've made the motion. Those in favor of the motion, A1 amendment, indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. The bill's amended. So members, questions? Senator Port.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for bringing this bill. Talking with some of my local law enforcement and hearing from Sheriff Leslie as well, this is it's a big expense for local jurisdictions, and it's a big time commitment as well to manage this data. So I think a solution, we need to find a solution. And I appreciate Auditor Blaha coming today to express that their office is willing to take on the auditing of that data, which is a big piece of it. But I do think there are some questions still. And I have is, so if a person requests access to body cam footage, would that still go through their local jurisdiction? Would it go through the state repository? Would it go through Auditor Blaha's office? What would that process look like?
Oops, Senator Begum.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And thank you for that question, Senator Port. We're not changing the process of how that would request. So it would be under current process, current law.
Senator Port, follow up?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And then the other question I have is, then are there limits of what can be done with the footage? Each jurisdiction currently can use facial recognition software if they choose in their jurisdiction? Could that be done statewide then without local jurisdictions coming into it? Do they still maintain ownership over the footage? Thinking through that piece.
Senator Begum.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Port. So again, this would just be the storage side of it. The local governments would still have to act under current statute. So if Burnsville, for example, had a request for that or was using that, that would be for them. Auditor Blaha is not going to be handling those requests. Those would still go through the local side of it.
Senator Port, any additional follow-up? Okay, Senator Graham.
Thank you, Chair. I guess I have two questions. One, what we heard from the other auditor group in another hearing about the difficulty of being able to find people to audit, hiring staff, just mm-hmm. like the rest of society. And that kind of leads into the fiscal cost. Mm-hmm. Do we have a rough guesstimate of the fiscal cost of this bill?
Senator Begum.
Mr. Chair, Senator Graham, I'm going to ask Auditor Blaha to come up to answer the first and second part. But what I will say is this: I actually think as we are fine-tuning this legislation, a phased-in approach, maybe starting with departments that do not currently have any body cam system, and then an advisory panel, I think that Mr. Neumeister said is probably warranted to be discussed, and that might be more of a state gov thing. I do think there are ways for us to manage that fiscal impact in a very responsible way. So if I could have Auditor Blaha talk a little bit about what kind of auditors she would be looking for and the cost of that.
Auditor Blaha.
Thank you, Chair Coran. Thank you, Senator Draheim. Yes, the OLI and the OSA share some of the same challenges in hiring auditors. And by the way, anyone listening, if you are an auditor, we are a wonderful place to work. Work-life balance, just saying. One of the things, again, I think because there's a couple of years before we'd be starting this, I think there's a help in that we're talking again. If it takes a year to get the system together, if it takes another year to populate the data, that's putting it out of waste. Right. Also, I think I'll remember that would be if we are doing a couple of hundred entities a year, that would be five, for a biannual, if we're doing everybody. An auditor, on average, when we cost them out at about $100,000. Now, again, we'll work up a very specific fiscal note to make sure that we're correct here. But this is one of those things we don't necessarily have to have someone with. Top level experience to do this audit. But again, I think we're talking about five staff at about $100,000 each is about where that's going to come in on our end. But again, if there are fewer audits, we would hire fewer staff.
Senator Graham, follow up.
I just want to switch gears a little bit and put my tinfoil hat on. And, how do we, Senator Hoffman, you find that funny? How do we ensure, I think every time you move data, there's a chance for things to happen, either it being altered or corrupted. And this is probably for Senator Bingham more so. What safeguards are in place to do this, to ensure that there's less of a chance that things going wrong, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm.
Senator Begum.
Mr. Chair and Senator Draheim, I share, the concerns of the integrity of the data that will be stored. And I think that that's incumbent upon the commissioner and, the advice and experts that she receives whenever this would become law, if it does. And who's ever in that role. I think also, again, looking at what we've done in the past and learning from what we've done in the past, I think is important. And we're not changing any of the protocols that of integrity or data that local governments that currently do this are using. So those standards that are in place now would be the expectations unless we change them in this process or in another piece of legislation. They're going to be under what we currently expect. And the current, I mean, I'm the lead of civil law, Senator Dreheim, and so I get all the auditor reports, and I have yet to find one that had a major issue. And I scroll through the, they come with the summary, and I scroll through that, and I have yet to find one that has a major breach. So.
Thank you, Senator Began. Senator Dreheim, any follow-up? Mr. Neumeister,
yeah.
Did you have a
just wanted
comment
to
add?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it also depends on what the commissioner is going to do. If it's going to be on state servers, you know, if it goes out to a third party, a contract, all those are things that are important to address. Because, Mr. Chairman and Senator, I do believe that, again, when you go from a local to a big system, when we've experienced, there have been breaches, there are issues. But it all depends on, like, this is why, Mr. Chairman, Senator, this advisory group is an important element to go over those specs. So those kinds of things that you talk about do not happen. Again, I only go to my experience of helping develop the statewide supervision system, putting enhancements in the statewide criminal justice system. Because if you remember, the old CrimNet was getting the right information on the right people at the right time, at the right place. And all those things are important. So I hope that helps just explain a little bit more. It's
Thank you, Mr. Neumeister. And we have, next up, we have Senator Wicklund.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question, you know, going back to the kind of the development of this system. Have you received any feedback from Minute about the language of the bill? Does it contain enough detail for them to be able to work on development of this state repository? I think a lot of good questions have been raised about you know, things that would need to be specified in terms of access methodology and the requirements for access. And I understand that you are saying that this will stay, the processes would stay the same as they are today for local governments, but to spell out for a state, you know, for Minute to be able to build such a system, have you gotten any feedback from them in terms of the bill language? Is it detailed enough that gives them that the information they need? And then the advisory, this concept of an advisory council or advisory group, it does seem like there will need to be a lot of consultation. And I'm wondering if Minute has any thoughts about whether that should be called out in the legislation or if they can gather those people together if, you know, if it's passed kind of as it's written today. Because I'm not sure whether we have any other parallel projects right now that are similar. Do we have any other state repositories that are basically used and controlled by local governments that the state maintains? I'm not aware, but you know, maybe there are things that exist that are kind of similar to what this would be. So those would be questions I'd have, and I don't know if Senator Bigham would have an answer or if there's anybody else who can comment for a minute.
Senator Bigham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Wicklund. Excellent questions. First, I haven't received any feedback from them because I'm not changed. I believe it's probably because I'm not changing the process, as you mentioned. That doesn't mean I won't have an email or voicemail when I get back to the office about that. After Education Committee yesterday is when I had the conversation with Mr. Neumeister after kind of thinking about the idea of a advisory panel. And of course, to me, the first person that came up into my mind was Minute. The first department that came up into my mind is having Minute on that. So I would think that as we move through the process here, and again, I believe the next step, I could be wrong, would be StateGov, is to come up with language for an amendment that would have an advisory panel on that, and looking through those things with detail, having that work group or that advisory panel look at those things in detail.
Thank you, Senator Bingham. And Senator Wicklund, a question for you. I think you and I both serve on the tactical advisory group as well. And when you look at this, the scope of this project and the membership of that body, certainly would be, to me, it would be a tactical component or something that we should address. I would, as I'm learning here, year six, we learn a lot every year. I don't know that we need more and more task force committees or advisories because there aren't enough of us to go around. If you look at the membership today from even a legislative perspective. So, and I just made as a comment, something that we should consider that do we already have this framework and structure? We have local municipal government involved in that. We have Minute, everybody in the IT world. And when we look at the data center consolidation, which is done and now movement to the cloud, all of these issues would be addressed to do something like this, fall within the realm of what we're doing. So I agree with the committee or the oversight, the necessity of it. It's just a matter of creating another advisory committee that would maybe further delay. And I don't think we'd be missing anything with the membership of that tactical advisory group of what's in place today. So just as a suggestion, we should consider it.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Bingham,
maybe it would be a good idea to have Ms. James come up with a couple different amendments that I can work with you and Senator Wicklund and anybody else just on how to fine tune that, whether it's what you suggested, which I'm fine with, or whether it's having a more specific group in the beginning and then transferring it over to what you mentioned. I think there are some options there. So maybe if Mrs. James can work on some language on how that would, couple different amendments, we can run them by you and Senator Wicklund and see what you think. And then as we move along in the process, incorporate that.
Yeah, Senator Begum, I think when we walk through all the steps, and we'll get to some more of those questions today, but really bringing the architecture of Sheriff Leslie said that it takes two people for him to do the management. What I'm hearing from you is none of that changes. We're really looking for just a central consolidated repository for data.
Correct.
That's it.
Correct.
So it doesn't alleviate the local enforcement agencies' requirements to do the redactions and all of them. We're talking about file storage, not the content of the file,
correct,
but making sure we have the integrity of the file maintained as we receive it and for preservation and utilization to only those that have a need to know.
Correct.
And so then I'm just kind of walking through the procedural pieces of it, of all of what you've described. And in that case, then Minute has an advisory role. We'd probably need a database administrator, somebody that just, minimal cost at that side. And then from the state auditor perspective, you are literally just going to manage from a content and a control mechanism and access point mechanisms, because you will not be analyzing the content of the data, which is what you do today in most cases. So in Auditor Blaha, if you want to come up, it's one of the questions that I have, because you audit for content, audit of files, and not that an audit was placed, but the content and the validity of the content and what comprises of a financial record. In this case, as I'm seeing it, and I think that that's where the clarity is going to have to come, Senator Bingham, is the role of the auditor. You can audit that the content, the access, and a file, a series of files from the source to the repository and the retention and its life, is maintained. But I don't see you, when you wouldn't have the skill sets or the abilities, because it would be random, to validate the content of a file, specific recordings. And so I guess your understanding of it today, what would you be auditing if it's different than what I just described? Auditor Blaha?
Thank you, Chair Curran. I'm not sure if it's different than you described. I might describe it differently. What we will do is we're going to be, we test compliance with statute. So whatever's in that statute, we test that compliance. So it's like you're saying, we're not necessarily going to be, you know, saying that, I'm not sure what, you know, just if I know what you mean by content, what we're checking to see is, are they following, you know, is an entity following the statute? So we need access to the data to test that, but we're not testing the data itself. So if you're talking about testing data integrity in a system like that, I think that is different. Again, at this point, we're testing is, do they have a policy? Do they, are they things that are supposed to be logged and saved? Are they being logged and saved? So those, yeah, we're testing that kind of action.
That's audited by that, and that's what I meant. Because you have no ability to audit the content of the file. It's a video, and you are not, you have play no role in that video. You have no identification. You have no source where it came from, but you don't know the content or the structure in which it was recorded under. And so you can do the statutory controls and making sure that the local entities and then access controls and all of those types of things, I would imagine you can do, but not content. I just want to make sure we have a clear understanding. We have a clear understanding. I mean, I think Senator Begum, that's the piece that has to be really clarified. And I'm sure in civil law, they're going to have a lot of fun with you to go through that very topic about that access of the content. One is file management and the control mechanisms to it, but the actual content is what you know, from a data privacy perspective is really going to be a big issue. So Senator Begum.
I don't know, clarify.
Audubon.
Thank you, Senator Curran. Just to clarify a little bit again, we're checking if there is a standard, we can check against it. So it's what, if you develop a set of standards around something and tell us to check against it, then we can develop testing to do that. So it really is about what you all have in your statutes, and that will determine, you know, what kind of tests we do. Yeah.
Thank you, Audubon.
Thank you.
Senator Begum.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, that's why I appreciate that. And I think in civil law, we will have a discussion about that. But that's why I just wanted to make it crystal clear that I'm not changing any of those requirements so that we can hold up the highest integrity of the original footage. Sheriff Leslie does have a comment.
I see him. I see him on there. Okay. So I pay attention to that. Sheriff Leslie.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw something out. I think, I don't know how many times we're going to hear this from me, but I agree with Rich on some stuff. Rich, thank you very much. This statewide radio system that was built took many years. This was a very strategic approach to an enterprise solution for interoperability across the entire state. I don't suspect that this will be any less than that. But I know the legislature does like to have some controls over data, as in state law have done that. My only caution, I love the conversation. My only caution is, so you get, but like I said, I have two people. That's what they do. They're really, really good at it. But I have $24 million, $25 million budget and 200 people. You go to a sheriff's office that has five deputies and one staff person that does everything. And now you're going to thrust that person as the redaction expert. You might make a mistake on redaction. And so that was the idea, that there would be a state system that would be managing data before it gets out. Because you make that mistake and the redacted person's face is not redacted, you're gonna get sued, and it's not gonna be pretty. So that expertise may want to be captured at the auditor's office, is all I was suggesting or thinking, is that there's a statewide expertise that oversees this, because it's sensitive data. You don't want, I don't want my grandmother who falls in the bathroom to get video out to the community. They don't need to see that. So there's a lot of that going on. Luckily, I have two people that are really good at it, but some sheriff's offices don't have the capacity, frankly. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff Leslie. And so you did provide the clarity, and that's why I brought up that you indicated you had two staff members managing that data. And so I was trying to get to it. So we have far more work. What you just described is not, in my belief, the role of the state auditor to manage content of the files in which you provide. They have no context and ability to do that. It's also not Minute's role or responsibility. So this, in your description, and if the author agrees, this is a much, much larger effort to then we will take over the management of the content of a file or a video, and to do the redaction or to apply all of those state standards. I see that being a very large fiscal note, Senator Begum. But it helps provide the clarity. If that's the intent, I understand it. But I think the bill is going to need a lot of work to go down those procedural steps and to put the guardrails on about responsibilities of agencies. Minute is just a technology provider. They are not a process agency. And so I'm not sure where that fits in. And it's probably necessary, but it's a much, much larger effort. And we'll have to find an agency that it should be housed in. Because you're just, and Sheriff Leslie, I think you were the reason you said it, and the way you, the tone in which you said it, is that you're understaffed today with just two, and one, we would want you go doing law enforcement and not data work, you know. So we do agree, and I'm not opposed to that. I just, your clarity has been extremely helpful, so in the conversation. So, Senator Begum?
Mr. Chair, the other thing I neglected to say is there is a letter of support from MPPOA in the file. Just popped into my head randomly. Sorry.
Yep, Senator Begum. And I think all the committee members have received that. Okay. So that's excellent. And I think probably likely for the same reasons Sheriff Leslie has stated, that it's a need, it's an administrative need. And, you know, it's benefits everybody to have the cameras. So now our future and our data and the integrity and the volume is only going to intensify, and then the need to protect it intensifies even more. And again, that's why when I talk about the tactical advisory group with Senator Wicklund, it's what we're doing every day. And so I think those things are in place to be able to guide Minute. Absolutely. In what we do from a structure there, but in the role of what we do or become absorbing the responsibility from all law enforcement agencies around the state, that we are now going to be the processor of their video files for not only this, the storage repository and managing access to those that need to know, but we're literally going to be doing data manipulation. And so then it brings up original file, right? It's saved, and it has to be saved in its original format, you know, and then it moves into, you know, the data encryption and the type and the cost in which we have to apply the technology for that, because we have to maintain that original record. Right. Because if not, then it adds very little benefit to the local law enforcement agencies. Correct. And then the redacted copy of that, which then can be distributed only on a needs to know for future purposes and, you know, to be defined. So I think we have the structure in place to be able to manage that from a Minute perspective, yep. But you're going to have to find an agency and we'll get to figure out where that goes from an operational perspective, because that's, if Sheriff Leslie has two and he's got a small department, we're talking about dozens of FTEs on an ongoing and only increasing in need as the volume of data and everybody adopts that technology across the state. So it's just a comment, but I think the conversation's brought it much more clear. So anybody question? I know I get Senator Hoffman next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it sounds to me, I mean, a couple of points, but prior to that, you're segueing into a whole bunch of things that validate what was happening in this conversation. It sounds to me like you want to set up a blue ribbon panel to...
Senator Hoffman, I think we just formalized it. But actually, think about it. I think it's one of the actual needs. We did those blue ribbons or to address these types of issues only on a sporadic basis, yeah. Every decade. And we replicate a portion of it, but it's not continually monitored. And the great part is we have everybody represented on it. So we have local municipalities, cities and counties on there. We have all other state agencies, and we also have private sector. In the case of augmentation, we don't have law enforcement, but we have the governing agencies that they support. And there's no limit to us bringing in the citizen component and or the data privacy components, which is also, you know, from a citizen perspective, we do have the structure from a technical perspective in that group.
So Mr. Chair, I appreciate that. I was trying to be funny like Sheriff Leslie, but you know, you
have to give me a heads up. I haven't seen that, funny Senator.
But he has often, a badge, yeah, and a gun, so he's funny.
That's funny. So Senator Cran, you know, to two of your points, I mean, and the MPPOA letter absolutely validates what Sheriff Leslie is saying, and it also validates the agencies in the current Senate district that I represent. It was about the cost, the storage cost. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's a technology cost to that, right? But as you get into the auditing side of it, I just wanted to point out something that you might want to consider. There's three non-permissive uses of language in this bill where you say must and shall, right? That there isn't there's no permissive. It very gives strict guidance on what you shall do. But there's one that I think you might want to look at on the second page at 2.6, line 2.6. If the jurisdictional agency over that law enforcement agency determines that the agency is not complying, right, with the section, that means they've done some kind of look or work or audit themselves, right? Then it slides in here, that governing body may order. And you know as well as I do, I sent you a snapshot yesterday of an agency. I won't name the agency. It's a pretty large agency in the state of Minnesota that somebody had pointed out some, you know, problems that were happening. And there were six layers, Mark. Do you remember that? That there were six layers that somebody pointed out because they had done their own audit. And nobody took advantage of that until the legislative auditor sent us the report that said, this is what should have happened, right? But I'm concerned when I see non-permissive and then all of a sudden there's a permissive piece in there that says may, you know, it's like may, right? It's like one of those things. It's like, so I think going forward, I don't know if you want to fix this here or go deeper in the weeds on that one, but if there's a non-compliance issue, right? There should be an automatic trigger that says we need a third eye on this, and maybe that's the, you know, whether it be the legislator. I don't care. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But
Senator Hoffman, I think because right today, I think the further clarity is of really the roles and responsibilities of that government. Who is the governing body?
Right.
We don't today. It's not Minute. We know it's not the state auditor, and so yet to be defined. I think in that process, then that language can be clarified. What are the procedural steps necessary when it falls out of compliance?
Right.
But we've got a lot of definitions of the business process before we don't have to engineer the whole thing, but I think it's about 25% baked, and we just identified a bunch of ingredients we need to add to that baking list. And so I think that agency, you know, the home of who will be that managing body, and then what are the rules around it to ensure that the local municipalities are doing their role, their share. But right today, if the intent sounds like they literally will just be the transfer of those data files and the roles and responsibilities of all the data management, the content management will roll on to the state, all the redaction, whatever, what application of all the state statutes today and those that may be new as a relationship to this process, I think would provide that clarity and then can be addressed at that time.
So, Mr. Chair, to your point, you know, because there's an assurance factor in here. You want to be assured that if somebody points out something that's wrong in the system, we don't want the system. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here, but we don't want the system to just kind of set that aside. Because to my point yesterday, what I shared with you and Senator Abler, there were six layers of people that, you know, ignored a system problem. Yep. Right?
Senator Hoffman, I think the complete oversight, one, as it reaches out to the, because one, you're talking about, those are daily activities. It's going to be continuous 24 hours a day, actually 7 days a week. So that load is going to be pretty significant for that managing group. And so, yes, I think the level of accountability must be very clear in statute. And I call those air resolution activities. So what falls outside of normal, you know, we do that every day. And
normal is just a cycle on a wash.
Wow. And so what is that, and what are the procedures for that? Because it will have some need to be at least at the high level defined in statute because of the content of this process and the seriousness of the data included. So we can't leave holes in it. I agree with you. So.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Begum.
So, Senator Hoffman, that is already current law. We just moved it from one section to another. So if you look at lines 1.23 through 2.2, that's the exact same language that is now just moved to that part B. So it's current law. They just as it was written, it just moved it in where the location is. And then I would say that as far as the lack of clarity, I don't think there is a lack of clarity over the law enforcement agency. It's clearly the one that has jurisdiction over the budget of the agency. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I get where you're going, but I mean, if Cambridge PD or Itasca Sheriff, I mean, they're the ones that, I mean, it's their footage, it's their data, it's their...
Right, but now what Senator Begum, you just described, what we talked about is a process that absolved them of the burden to do redaction or file manipulation, because it's going to roll onto this, whatever this new state entity is, or that resource. And so they can only be accountable until the point they transfer that file to us, then it's out of their hands. And then they will be limited. They will then be limited to only the files that they get access to, right? The need to know and that agency by agency. And they're gonna count on that work that's being done by that state agency for the information that they then retrieve on an as needed basis. And so they won't have the, you know, I mean, it will be outside of their control. Today they control all of it. They have the burden to do it, but they also control all of it. And what you described is they would lose that that control. So,
and to her point, Mr. Chair, if I can, to that point,
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, it's not like a clarity that we in the structures of our agencies a lot of times don't have the assurances in place that if somebody raises a point, right? In this case, there's a compliance. If that financial agency says, oh, there's a compliance issue here, right? Rather than having permissive language that says, well, you may get an independent investigator. And my case in point was yesterday during a conversation I had shared with the lead in our human resources, our human services reform, and with Senator Curran, an agency that knew that there was a compliance issue at the lowest level possible, the person in charge, right? But there were six layers above that did nothing with that information. And it wasn't the agency that was being assured of that. It was our own legislative auditor who in a report said, oh, you might want to take a look at this piece on that one. So I just, anytime there's permissive language about that, it just kind of sets me aside saying, well, where's the assurance in place that's there? And that's what I'm just getting to the point at. So,
and Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, the other kind of to that point is the local law enforcement agency is still going to have access to this data. I mean, it's not like hit send and it's only the auditor that has it. So, and I have no intention of denying a local local department
no.
access to that.
Senator Begum, so, I don't think anybody's arguing that okay. point. It's just that.
Maybe, I don't know if Ms. James wants to kind of further clarify some of this of what's in current law, or unless you...
Senator Begum, I'm not sure that it's necessary okay. at this point. I think the big missing pieces to that, to define those roles and responsibilities, is going to be start to define that outline of who is going to be that responsible agency. Because okay. That will then help move and clarify and assign the roles necessary and the corrective action that is going to be necessary because of the content and the dependency in the out years
sure.
that we don't get to go back and redo this in a court case or a criminal trial, whatever, you know, whenever they need that vital data. Right. So, Senator Port.
Recording in progress.
Because what's in front of us today and sort of what you are describing is the movement of the data, the storage of the data. And if that is your intent to stay that way, just the storage of the data, the auditor, making sure that it's properly moved, properly stored, whatever systems are in place. What we heard from Sheriff Leslie was broader than that, was a statewide overseeing, the statewide doing the redacting, doing that piece. If that is the intent of this, you know, moving forward, then that's a much bigger project.
Yep, for sure.
And so interested in your take on which of those is your intent with this bill.
Yep, nope,
no. Senator Begum.
Thank you.
Good question, Senator Port.
Yep, no, exactly. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Port. The bill in front of us is exactly as you described, which is just taking over the storage at this point. So I believe that that's what we should continue to move on for the cost of the audits, for the actual cost of the storage on a server, you know, those types of things. I think we can continue, as the chair has said, if we are going to go down the redaction area, then that's a, as it's been clearly articulated, a whole different level of discussion. And I'll reiterate that I think as this moves through the committee process, a phased-in approach with some sort of, whether it's an advisory panel or what you and Mr. Chair and Senator Wicklund serve on, some sort of hybrid. I mean, I think to kind of help flesh this out is the direction where I hope this body is going related to this piece of legislation.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Port, follow up? Yeah, Senator Megan, I think the in our conversation, I think there's clearly different expectations from law enforcement relative to what you just stated. And so I think you're going to have to really go back with those guys, because if it doesn't appear that the storage is the biggest issue, it's the work, the storage, and the combination of all of that, that they're taking on the full management of it. And it sounded like, at least from Sheriff Leslie's testimony, that was their hope to offload some of that, especially as it grows. So it's your bill. You get to drive down that direction.
Sure.
And so as you provide that clarity as we move on, the rest of the, and if it does expand, then we've talked about the things that need to be clarified. So excellent. Any other comments, members? I don't see any hands online. No other comments. And so I think it's been a great discussion. It's important to do, it's a necessary function with the proliferation and the need to have everybody have the cameras and then the management of it. It's a much larger test than I think the average person understands to make sure we have that data and we secure it for the history of it. And only those that need to know have access and to help our local law enforcement as well. So with that, what I'd like to do is I'll move that Senate file 3723 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Civil Law and Data Practices Committee. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. You're on your way to Civil Law. Thank you, Senator members. Begum.
Thank you.
And members, we have no further bills before us today, so that will call to the end, and we'll adjourn the Technology and Reform Committee. Thank you, everyone.
Recording stopped.